B-Pod Studios.
There's someone very special I want you guys to meet.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want to tell you both good luck.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We come to a time here, that period, where we got to decide if you're going to push through. This is last year all over again. You play against a heavier team, we decide, well, maybe it's, you know what, I don't want, whatever. Like, wake the f*** up, all right? Play the f*** game the right way, okay? It's hard. It hurts to win. We've been through that 100 times. That's life in April and May, all right? Let's go with it.
I'm the big scary man guy. Put a couple biscuits in the basket. They went top shelf where mama keeps the peanut butter and where I hide the pornos.
Here we go. It's too good time. It's too good time. It's too good time. It's too good. Too good. Too good. Too good time. It's too good time. It's too good time. It's too good. Too good. Too good. Too good. Too good.
I'm going to be so hungover at work tomorrow. I'm not going to do anything.
Five, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and you're hearing the goal song that starts later this year.
At some point, the new goal song for the Boston Bruins. It should happen, or at least end the game with it. It's better than Dirty Water.
Well, let's not go crazy.
All right. It's the new Gloria. It's the Bruins version of Gloria.
I'm sure Gloria has some meaning. Dirty Water. Oof.
Yeah, the Gloria thing just was this year. And I think it was like in January. A couple of the players were just at a bar or something, and they heard it and they loved it and they said keep playing it. And then during the playoffs when they won, they would yell play Gloria, and somehow that caught on. And it was funny after the Bruins, you know, kicked the asses of the Blues at the end of the game, CM Punk, who's a big Bruins fan, just kept tweeting play Gloria over and over again.
Oh, CM Punk.
Oh, CM Punk. But somebody I can't wait. Like, if indeed the Bruins go on to win the Stanley Cup, there's really not many people I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with it more than, of course, David Pastrnak.
Hey, Rip, check your voicemail. You missed some calls.
That's right. A guy who has become really a treasure trove of sound bites. I mean, we didn't really realize that this guy, you know, when it came to his name, he took things literally.
What is the best thing you eat before a game?
Pasta. Pasta, pasta. Pasta bolognese, my favorite thing. Pasta meat sauce for lunch and pasta.
Very fitting. Thanks, pasta.
Thanks. Thanks.
He's pasta. So content.
Thanks.
He's just pasta.
He is.
Pasta with meat sauce.
Pasta, meat sauce. Pasta, pasta, pasta. Pasta, pasta.
Thanks.
Pasta bolognese. Thanks.
He sounds like post-coital. He's got like a cigarette in his mouth.
He's sitting there smoking. He just turns to his left and goes,
thanks.
I'll be back.
All right. ASMR posture. All right.
Right. It's a very soothing voice.
It is.
Which I wouldn't mind listening to.
Yeah, why not?
You know, but put the old headphones on and just find yourself, you know, a nice comfortable space.
And just drift thanks. Off to sleep.
Just drift right off to sleep. Well, of course.
What's up, guys?
And then he yells that and wakes you up. That would be the way that you know your ASMR session is over with David Pastrnak. Well, he was asked about at Media Day what he was doing on his birthday, which I guess just happened this past weekend. And he answered this question right here.
Spend it with my fam, you know, in the town. So obviously had a nice lunch, home-cooked meal by mom, and played board game for 7 hours yesterday. And obviously won, but I don't know if they let me win or not, but I was the big winner. So,
what was the board game that you played for 7 hours on your birthday?
It's kind of like Monopoly, but you have horses, you buy horses, and obviously then you buy the... you have, you know, it's same thing like Monopoly, but it's with the horses, and then you can bet on the other horses as well. So it's a long game.
The old Monopoly game,
but it's just More than that, it's just like livestock.
Right. It's just something so like.
Where he's from,
it's like Manabali, which is like a horse.
It's a horse. What?
Every one of the figurines, there's no top hat. There is no car. Just all horse.
Here is Breadline.
It's Monopoly.
Here is Dictator. Hey, no, you stop.
Monopoly.
Here is Stealing Pig from Penn.
Home cooked meal by mom.
Yes, a home cooked meal? What kind of meal was that?
Pasta bolognese.
Okay, all right.
Thanks.
That's what he said after he was done eating it.
Monopoly.
All right, so shall we go out to the TD Garden?
There's actually a horse and pony edition of Monopoly, I'm told.
Is that what it is?
That's what
Does it take 7 hours to
I
play?
Don't know. I'm just reporting the news to you. I had no idea this existed until now.
No, it sounds like a communist version of Monopoly.
Right. And on that bread store, you may get it, you may not get it. It's just if you're in line fast enough, sometimes you get it, sometimes you do not.
All right, Rich.
Monopoly.
Their young Nicholas was out in front of the garden.
Thanks.
I'm glad you appreciate it.
Thanks.
We're trying to get people excited.
Thanks.
Right. Yo, what's up, guys?
There you go. Now we're talking about that.
All right.
So this gentleman is the winner of our contest that we had. Did you say he called in? Is that going to go?
He called in.
He's yes. very excited.
He had to sign all these releases that he didn't read.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm not making it
so
up.
So he owned his rights then?
No, not us. Like, apparently... He's going to be on some Stanley
Oh, the Quest
Cup
for the Cup DVD.
Yes.
These guys are going to be stars. I mean, they're already stars. Every single one of them. It's all over the television.
Yeah.
It's going to happen again tonight.
The big scary man guy knows how to do it. You get out there just about 12 hours before game time.
Oh, sure. Right when everyone's desperate for content. They're just like, we need that. We'll film anything. And, of course, he ends up being out there, and then he signs the release, and they say,
thanks.
There you go. So this is Nick with the Chief.
Yep, this is with the Chief, yep.
Okay, here we go.
All right, what's your name?
My name is Big Chief Wanamaker Cheer! We can use this for the radio because it's Big Chief Wanamaker Cheer approved.
All right, so how was your time at the game?
Yeah, it was all right. No, it was awesome! It kicked ass! I got this much voice left and work's going to suck tomorrow, but it was worth it! Woo!
All right, give me a recap of tonight's game.
Well, let's see. The Bruins scored more than they did because St. Louis sucks. St. Louis sucks. And the Black and Blues when the Bruins are done with them.
Didn't quite get the cheer going.
Hey, it was a one-man cheer.
He was a one-man cheer.
And he looked around. He was like, hey, no.
Thanks.
Woo! Hey, Nick, by the way, thank you for the boat the other day.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Woo!
You are the right person.
Nick Gianelli right here.
Hi.
Father makes meatballs. He rocks.
There it is. There's the dagger right in Nick's weak heart.
Hi. Nick's like, hi.
You mentioned my dad, you a-hole. How can I have a conversation with anyone that not mentioned my dad?
I know.
Yeah. And then, by the way, Nick was, when I left on Friday, he was standing at his car, and he goes to me, do you think I made a mistake who I voted for? And I said, who cares? But Nick was agonizing over his decision, which shows you what a big heart he has. And now, metaphorically, because his heart, he was emotionally drained after.
Right. And now Nick knows what it's like to be Chris Sims. Everyone asks about your dad.
Yeah.
I know you're really trying to carve out a career for yourself, but really, let's talk about your dad.
Yeah, he's Colin Hanks. You know, you give him a few roles here and there, but... Ultimately, you'll never be your dad. They had a nanny growing up. That's
really?
Yeah.
Who did?
Not know that.
Nick.
Oh, wow. Nick did?
How about that?
Yeah. That's why the Gemelli fortune's no joke. You go out and buy yourself a sports bike.
Jeez.
Woo! So who was your MVP for tonight's game?
Oh, Sean Corrali, without a doubt. Number one star of the night. Banging in the corners, even though Torrey Krug laid a guy out at the blue line. Oh, he's still picking his chicklets up. Woo!
Now, while you were in studio, was there any doubt? Was there
anyone?
Yeah.
No. You know what? I started getting worried when the guy's sitting there banging his stick. And then John Wallach picked him. And then the Ultimate Warrior and the Big Scary Man guy picked him. I'm like, oh, Jesus, what's going on here? Then I saw my buddy Nick come in, and he just didn't even waste time. He's just like, the chief. And they're like, no, we got time to kill. No,
you did it wrong. You're supposed to build up to it.
Yeah.
You're just going to say, yeah, the chief.
Not killing time, it's giving a thought process.
Yeah. You know, it's painting a picture.
Yeah, you got to explain what's going on. A lot of people just listening.
Yeah, no. The chief.
Oh, there's Xanadu.
There is Xanadu.
Hey, Xanadu.
I know. He's the guy I voted for. We won! Three more, Nick.
This is Xanadu just shows up.
Wow. These guys have this way of finding each other. There's a lot of people streaming out of the garden and the bars around the garden. Xanadu somehow has never gotten in an accident. He just cruises around.
If you could say anything to the Bruins, what would it be?
Oh, just bring it home again. Don't even let St. Louis in this. Beat them down next game. Game 3, game 4. Bring it home so we have 3 parades in less than a year. Woo!
All right. Thanks. That was the atmosphere around the garden.
By the way, I'm getting tweeted a million photos of Horseopoly.
Okay. There is actually a horse and pony version of Monopoly.
But I don't think that's what he was playing. No.
That's no way that's what he's playing.
Like, it's all made out of, like, wood nuggets.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like an Eastern European,
okay,
you know, kind of thing.
It's probably actual, like, horse pellets that they're using for, like, the pieces.
Petrified.
Passed down from generation to generation.
Sure. Where is he from? He's not from Finland.
No, Czech Republic, I thought, right?
Yeah, so that's probably a game from when it was Czechoslovakia.
Monopoly?
Yeah, it's probably like a socialist Monopoly, so it's not like Monopoly at all.
And it probably is spelled completely different. Like Monapolly.
I'm telling you, that's a game for... I bet you anything, it's a communist version of Monopoly. Where everyone's supposed to win, but no one actually wins.
Collect gold. Collect $200, give $200 to other people.
Yeah.
It's not yours.
Spread the
money. It is everyone's.
Yes.
Yes.
Congratulations, you have worked for the greater good.
Congratulations.
Move ahead to space.
Everybody sad, everybody hungry.
You congratulations win. To oppressor for getting oil mine. All right.
Monopoly.
We have a guy who covers the... Blues for the Athletic, Jeremy Rutherford. I will not hang up on him. I promise
Thanks.
You that. You're welcome, David Pastrnak. We'll talk to him in just a moment.
Thanks.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
There's someone very special I want you guys to meet.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want to tell you both good luck.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
We come to a time here, that period, where we got to decide if you're going to push through. This is last year all over again. You play against the heavier team, we decide, well, maybe it's, you know, whatever. Like, wake the f*** up. All right? Play the f*** game the right way. Okay? It's hard. It hurts to win. We've been through that 100 times. That's life in April and May. All right? Let's go with it.
I'm the big scary man, guys.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Team defense for sure. I think we've been able to, once we've gotten the lead, we've played the right way, played winning hockey. I'm going to guess through most of this, we've held our discipline, not got ourselves in a lot of trouble. I think there was one game in Carolina, we took 4 penalties in the first period. That was tough. Tuukka had to really bail us out. Timely scoring, secondary scoring, everyone contributing up and down the lineup. I don't think you win that many in a row unless your goalie's standing on his head every night. Tuukka's been rock solid.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Jeremy Rutherford covers the Blues for TheAthletic.com. Covers the St. Louis teams. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Rutherford, hello, sir.
Hello, how are you guys doing?
We are well. Are you enjoying the city of Boston?
That's great. That's great. Yeah, I know, some extended time. Usually we're just up here and out, but this is a fun trip.
Were you get loaded last night?
Yeah. You know sports writers.
Yeah. Yes, I do. All right. So, David Backes, when you guys get back to Blues get back to St. Louis, what's that going to be like? How are the fans going to react? Will there be a small kind of upside to it if they do end up losing and that Backes won a championship finally?
I think 48 hours ago there would have. I think that there are probably a lot of people in St. Louis saying, well, you know, if the Blues don't win it, at least David Backes will win it. Well, that was before game one. I saw so much, and you guys might have too, feedback on social media after the game the other night that and these are the fans talking, so we know how they are. After Edmondson cross-checked him in the face, you know, Blues fans said that he took a dive. And I think that they noticed that David Backes was going after Jordan Binnington. So I think 48 hours ago people were rooting for him, and now all it took was one game. And now they don't care if he wins the Stanley Cup.
Real quick, you don't think he took a dive, do you?
I do.
I don't think so. You know, I've known David for, you know, 15 years, and he was never, ever that type of player. And to me, you know, some people were saying that he didn't get cross-checked to the face, and I watched the replay, and he did. So, you know, I'm never going to put myself in the player's shoes and say that didn't hurt.
Yeah, and then, of course, the little shove afterwards, too. And by the way, they've showed it, and he absolutely got cross-checked. I mean, there's no question.
You get cross-checked to the face, you gotta take it. You can't just get up.
You just have to be superhuman. Like, yeah. Okay, so along those lines, it's been interesting over the last couple of days seeing the reaction of the Torrey Krug hit on Robert Thomas, and there are still some writers saying that he should have been penalized for that. Where do you stand on that?
I wrote it yesterday. I said that I didn't mind the hit. I'm not just saying that because I'm on with you guys. I didn't mind the hit. And, you know, you hate to in sports factor in everything because everything, you know, I think should be looked at on an individual basis. But David Perron was laying on top of Torrey Krug like a blanket at the other end, and the ref standing right there watching it and no call. So, you know, if I'm Torrey Krug, I'm doing the same thing. I know the charging rule kind of lends itself to if you take a run at a guy, even if you don't leave your feet, that you can be called for charging. But to me, clean hit, and, you know, it obviously got the building going. Even though I think the Bruins had the game, you know, at that point, it was a really, really big moment in that game one.
The thought here anyway in Boston is the Bruins got back to playing their game after knocking out the rust in the first period, and they played well, and they seem to be more talented top to bottom than St. Louis, so they went ahead and won, which lends themselves to being big favorites in this series. I imagine the feeling in St. Louis is a lot different. Built up a 2-0 lead, should have won the game. There's a lot to be optimistic about. Is that correct?
Yeah, you know, I think a little bit. I think that everybody expected Boston to be rusty, even in St. Louis. That's what the conversation was for a few days, that it would take them at least a couple periods to get into it. And that's exactly what happened. They didn't have their edge, as Bruce Cassidy said after the game. That first period, they looked terrific for the last, 39 minutes. But I do have to say this, and covering every single Blues game this year and knowing the fan base and having a pulse for what they think, this Blues team, you don't get from last place in the league to the Stanley Cup final without being able to shake things off and regroup. And we've seen it like three times already in this postseason where they don't look good, and they didn't the other night, the last two periods. And then they come out the next game and they look like a Stanley Cup finalist. And so I think that's what they're banking on, Blues fans, is that the Blues can shake things off really, really quickly and bounce back. So I think that's what they're most optimistic about.
So is it just like, as someone who covers the team, were they just not playing their game, or is there actual, like real changes that need to be made in the way that they approach the Bruins now from what you saw after game one?
I think it was what the Bruins did to them. I do. You know, I watched that the last two periods, And the Blues, when they can't get the puck out of their own end, that's when they have fits. And I'm sure that's common, you know, with all teams. But the Blues, their strength, and it has been the entire postseason, is the forecheck. And if you can't get the puck out of the zone, you can't get it through the neutral zone, you can't even think about your forecheck, much less shots on goal. So, you know, people want to talk about, well, they didn't get any shots on goal. They got outshot 18-3 in the second period. Well, yeah, it's because you can't get the puck out of your zone. But to me, it was, you know, how the Bruins came out, jumping in lanes, just clogging everything, and just playing a really, really aggressive game. So, to me, I'm a little more leaning towards giving the Bruins credit.
John, who's the defenseman that's coming back?
Vince Dunn.
All right. If Vince Dunn plays today, I'm sorry, I'm not overly familiar with him. I know he had a lot of goals. What is how does that improve things?
Yeah, you know, it's not going to dramatically improve things in terms of now all of a sudden you'll see, you know, the Blues just cleanly come out of their zone as a team. They're going to have everybody play better. But Vince Dunn is really good at it. He's a quick young guy with really good instincts. He's coming off this mouth injury. He took a puck to the mouth, and he's all wired up. Hasn't played in a few games here, but he has been practicing. And Craig Berube said yesterday he's a possibility for tonight. So if he gets in the game, he'll be a huge help. They miss him. He's been a starter. He's been a regular all season long. And they just don't have those same instincts without Vince Dunn on the ice.
Well, the one thing that Bruins fans have been pleasantly surprised with this year is that, you know, it took a while, but all four of the lines are fairly prolific. I mean, as a matter of fact, I think I saw the stat the other day is that in game one, everyone but Matt Grizzlick fired a shot on net. Right. And whereas you take a look at what the Blues did, I think there were at least seven players that had no shots on net in comparison. So is this something that, when you look at the Blues, is that normal for them? Or do you guys have an issue with some of the lines offensively? Or is this just kind of the way that the team has been all season?
No, I think that's why the conversation going into the series with the teams were kind of a mirror of each other. I know that's a lot of times a cliche, especially, you know, NHL, but they really are. And I know the Bruins are probably a little bit better in a lot of areas, but this Blues team, those four lines deep, and honestly, throughout the postseason, their fourth line has been probably their best line. You know, sometimes the top lines cancel each other out. So the Blues fourth line has been terrific, but just nobody was going the other night. And, you know, when the defensemen and the forwards aren't on the same page, and, you know, I hate to use the hockey jargon here, but when they don't have their five-man unit, just everybody's off. So I think once the Bruins came out that second period and established how they wanted to play, I was really, really impressed with that fourth line. I knew they had some depth. I've watched the Bruins on TV throughout the postseason, but that was really, really strong. And so I think the Blues, this is the toughest opponent they've seen in the postseason. I think this is the deepest team I think I've seen the Bruins. I think this is going to be really, really tough. The Blues have bounced back, like I said earlier, mm-hmm. time and time again, but I think it's going to be tougher to do against these guys.
We discussed Jordan Binnington a little bit earlier in the program. What is he like? Most goaltenders are a little strange. What is Jordan Binnington like?
You know, I've never really experienced anything like him. As you mentioned, a lot of goalies are strange, weird, weird cats, right? But Jordan Binnington, here's a guy who is a third-round draft pick in 2011, and he really didn't get the chance. I mean, he came up and he did a couple camps, and, you know, they got their feel for him. They didn't really think that he had NHL potential, and they just kind of buried him in the minor leagues. And, you know, I won't get too detailed on you here, and you guys have probably heard the story, but they didn't have a minor league affiliate last year. They shared one, and they shipped Jordan Binnington to Providence. They talked to the Bruins and found a place for him to play in Providence. So here's a guy that they've passed over time and time again. Finally, he gets this chance, and he's running with it. And then the personality, I think, comes along with it. So you've probably seen the clips throughout the season where somebody said, "Do you look, you know, are you nervous?" He said, "Do I look nervous? You know, no." And then you saw it yesterday. You know, they said, "Did Torrey Krug say anything when he skated by you?" And he said, "No, it was more or less a big stare." And then he said that his pupils were really big. I don't know if he's on something. And it's like you don't know what you're going to get out of him. Like, if I'm the Blues, I'm kind of just kind of squeamish every time he goes to the podium, because here's a guy you have no idea what he's going to say.
Yeah, I thought he sounded great. I thought he sounded like someone who is just locked in and just like, what?
Emotionless.
Right. Yeah, right. It's exactly what you want.
His lack of I was saying that this morning, his lack of emotion is exactly what I want
if I was a teammate of his.
And real quick, finally, before we let you go, because I was not aware of the back history with David Backus and Edmondson. You know, they obviously we talked about the check. There's no love lost between those guys, right? Didn't they like fight on his first return, on Backus's first return to St. Louis?
Yeah, I think they did. And I just think, you know, those are two physical players. Like Backus played 8 minutes the other night. He wants to establish himself. Joel Edmondson, same thing. He might not be in the lineup tonight, Joel Edmondson, if Vince Dunn comes back in. And every time he's sat in the past, the coaches are, hey, Joel, we need you to play physical. So he's got that on his mind. But, yeah, in terms of those two, I never knew of anything, you know, when they were here together. But certainly two guys who want to rough it up, you know, I don't think there's any love lost. So let's put it this way. I said this yesterday. Petrangelo and Backus might get together in the offseason, but I don't think Edmondson's coming.
He's not going to be invited.
I'm a Cardinal fan. How excited are the Cardinals that the Blues are doing this well? So they can sweep all this crap under the rug.
Yeah. No, I think the Cardinals are the most happy team about this Blues run. They definitely are. You know, they started off hot. You're a Cardinal fan. You would know that. But they started off hot. But what do they got? 5 wins in their last 20. And so, yeah, they've all their social media and everything is rooting on the Blues. It's their way of saying, hey, guys, don't watch us.
Yeah, exactly. That's, when you're under 500 at this point in the season, you're saying, oh, my. All right. Well, good stuff, Jeremy Rutherford. You can read him at theathletic.com. Thank you so much for the time.
Thanks, boys.
I'll see you, man. By the way, that Backus Edmondson fight, like when he first returned, I mean, this was his first time back
right in
St. Louis. It was not a good fight. But, I mean, at least the two of them went toe-to-toe. That's kind of ballsy. I mean, once again, it was the captain. That would be like Chara getting, you know, traded to a team on his first return back, you know, against the Bruins. You would have, oh, I don't know, you know.
Somebody very big.
You know, Kevin Miller.
For the Bruins.
Like, you know, pick a fight with Zdeno Chara. That's what it would be. It would just be strange because he was loved. I mean, how many years was he captain there? 5 years? He was drafted there? I mean,
six. Six?
Okay, he was captain.
Whatever it was.
Either way, yeah. I mean, he was loved there. And then in his first game back, this Edmondson dude says, let's fight. And it didn't even seem like for any kind of major infraction. Like, I'm watching it. It doesn't seem like anything crazy that led up to it. So
maybe it was Backus realized that he was having a great deal of trouble skating. And then he decided.
Just pure frustration?
Yes.
Yeah, he was like, whoa, this didn't feel like this last year.
I can't catch you, so come on over here.
By the way, Jeremy Rutherford, very soothing voice.
Did you really think that he faked that? That he flopped?
I did at first. I haven't looked at the replay.
Yeah, I looked at the replay.
There's an angle that they show when it's faced on him, and he got crushed right in the mouth.
Yeah, when I was watching it live, I thought he took a dive.
Because the first time you saw it was from the back, and you're right, and you couldn't really tell. But then they had that replay angle. Oh, yeah, dude got nailed right in the teeth.
All right, here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Listen, watch, react in real time. Toucher and Rich are on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub. The Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Did a lot of Bruins talk today. Tony Loughman from the NHL Network will be joining us. They'll be out in front of the Garden. I can assure. Well, it's another one of those wonderful. Okay. Blah, blah, blah. Boring talk.
They have a fan fest going on again? I just want to make sure.
The fan fest is going on Canal Street. That Felger and Mads will be out there broadcast. I don't know if there's anything going on at City Hall like they had the watch party. That was a different event. For every Bruins home playoff game, there will be a fan fest on Canal Street.
All right. And Felger and Mads, by the way, have to fly out to St. Louis to do their show. So I don't know if
they'll be on Saturday, yes.
But they'll also be there. Saturday's the next game.
Saturday and Monday. Right? Dude, that doesn't suck. Imagine going to like St. Louis for a weekend. That'd be fun.
I actually would enjoy that.
Like, a little barbecue?
No, sure. You go to St. Louis, you get to go to these games? Dude, that sounds awesome.
St. Louis is impressed by it, but St. Louis is fine.
I wouldn't want to spend more than 2 days downtown.
And you wouldn't really have to. That's the cool thing. See, I to me, that almost, I would love to do that.
Fly out after the show Friday night. Get there late on Friday night. You're on the air Saturday. Game Saturday night. Sunday would be the day you'd have to kill.
Sunday would be, that'd be great.
Like, sorry, John, I don't mean to interrupt, John. I think there's a Friday afternoon broadcast from St. Louis.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, so they're going out there Thursday after the show.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they'll be leaving
Thursday. That's kind of long. Like, they're Thursday, they're Thursday through Tuesday.
And you
then.
Have to remember, this isn't like the Super Bowl. This is just a place where you're broadcasting from in front of, or wherever.
Yeah, where do they put them up? Where are they going to broadcast
they
from?
They broadcast, I know Nesson broadcast from when they played Chicago in the finals from like in the arena, like in some, what do you call it there? Like the corridor of the arena.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is where Felger was at the beginning of game one for NBC Sports Boston.
Okay. So
and
it's
then
like
they moved him to a safe space afterwards.
Behind the velvet ropes.
So like in the beginning of the game, you're just in the empty arena.
Right.
So this isn't like the Super Bowl where they're swinging people around.
Yeah. But the thing is too, is that you get to go to a potential Stanley Cup winning game. Like, I mean, if you're there for game four, let's say they sweep, you're there. I mean, to me, that sounds like a blast, to go out of town to go to both games for the Stanley Cup final.
You just said, I don't thought they'd be there too long. You just said that's kind of long.
Well, it is kind of long. I mean, you have to get there on Thursday, and then you're staying until Tuesday. That's pretty long. But I would still...
No, you're staying until Wednesday.
No.
Oh, no, Saturday, right. Saturday,
Monday night is game four.
Well, then, yeah, and then
you Do I have that right? Monday night's game
four. Yeah, and then you got to get on a flight
Tuesday morning
and come up and do your show at 2 o'clock.
That doesn't sound too fun, but it would be worth it for me. That would be worth it, to be able to go to those two games out of town. And
it's better than going to San Jose back and forth.
Oh, I heard Murray talking about this. San Jose would have been just awful. Well, they do. See, I can't put myself in the headspace of doing afternoons. It's a totally different thing.
I know.
It would suck for us, is what I would say.
I would agree with that.
We've done afternoons.
No.
This situation.
I'm not saying afternoon sucks.
Oh, this.
When we first moved here, we were doing 2 to 6.
That was great.
That's heaven on earth.
That was awesome.
You can sleep as late as you want.
Mm-hmm.
You're done at 6.
You can stay out as late as you want.
Like, 6 isn't late enough. I mean, you can go to anything. Like, you have an hour to get to anywhere. Nothing starts before 7. Oh, no, 2 to 6. Are you kidding me?
You have no competition.
You have no competition in the market. You got to remember, there's more than 2 radio stations. There's a lot of radio stations.
We're up against
stations.
Like 19 morning shows.
Yeah. And each have been here for 45 years. So, I mean.
But yeah, that would be great.
But regardless of that. But I mean, oh no. St. Louis, I'm not putting myself in the red. San Jose would suck. But St. Louis, 2 to 6. Yeah, because you don't have to get up in the morning. I suppose it's all right.
It's one to five, actually, Fred. Even better.
Oh, it's 1 to 5. That means you could, and then you could go to, if the Cardinals are in town, you could go to a game.
And you know what the good thing, I will say this about the people of St. Louis, and maybe it's too early to predict this because they have not been out there for their two games. But unlike Carolina, and I don't really remember Columbus doing too much of this, but Carolina, I just left a bad taste in my mouth, that St. Louis doesn't do any of that corny stuff around the team. There's no pig. There's no, like, stupid pig. There's no, like, hey, come visit our barbecue spots and all that. There's none of that weirdness.
Yeah, because there are two other major league professional franchises that you follow along and you do your thing. Carolina has one.
Well, the thing,
Columbus has one.
No, St. Louis hockey fans are hardcore. They've been into the team, and they've been along far long enough.
St. Louis has been around for how long? They've been around since 1967, 68, 50 years?
And by the way,
what does Carolina and Columbus have?
All right, there was only one thing, and you can find it. Well, you guys don't follow St. Louis writers. Apparently someone from the Globe wrote about how superior the food was.
I've got it. And that's pretty corny.
Pretty corny.
Yeah, really? I mean,
but it's 2 food writers, so what are you going to do?
Right. But that's like the stuff that's going to happen. But
The St. Louis Blues fan, believe me, I followed the St. Louis media. The Blues fans are legit. That's a team that's loved.
Well, the first line in the St. Louis Today article about, I mean, it says, hey, Boston, we have some opinions about your food, too. And it says the gauntlet has been thrown down, or as they would say in Boston, the GAWNT lit, the gauntlet.
At least it's a food writer. It's a food writer.
It is a food writer. That's why you can't get too mad. So I actually respect, as of right now, I respect the St. Louis fans.
You're never going to get a Carolina again. You're not going to get a Carolina
that
again.
That was like touching the, like, no, Atlanta in the Super Bowl was close. Like when they wrote that, look, don't pity us, that article about, oh, you know, the last day.
But that was an article. the carrot. First of all, you're never going to have a sport that people are going to be feel more inferior about their knowledge than hockey in Carolina. I mean, it's the sport where they feel like they need to, for some reason,
overcompensate.
The fans feel the need to overcompensate.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And then, you know, when like a lot of things, you know, a lot of times they're an anonymity. I mean, they care. How much more do you think they care about college basketball and football there? I mean,
oh, it's everything. It's everything.
So
we joked about, you go to the radio station, scroll, and you know how it has like the list of the names of the teams? You click on teams, and I believe the Hurricanes were like eighth on the list.
Yeah, there's like NC State football.
Right, it was like, you know, UNC women's lacrosse
yeah.
was like ahead of like the Hurricanes and things like that. Yeah, so far, I do not have a corny taste in my mouth, which, unfortunately, I kind of wish they did because it's a little more fun.
Yeah.
But there really isn't a lot of that.
No, because you just said Carolina. Nothing's going to be as bad as Carolina. I can't think of any other sport where it would be nearly as bad because people, like, know about, follow the NFL no matter where you are. People, I mean, basketball's played everywhere. I mean, you can go to South Indiana and people are playing basketball. And then baseball, obviously, there's nowhere where you're going to be like, what's this baseball game?
I mean, if there was like Arizona, like if the Coyotes made it to the Stanley, I could see it being something like that. But they're not
rednecks. No, Carolina was the worst. Yeah, really the was worst. And they think they have like this rich culture and it's like all garbage. And they're like, they can't figure it out. It's like they think they have this rich like culture that's going on. And then on the other hand, they tell you how many people moved down from the north. It's like Bank of America moved there. That's why people live there. Like no one's ever said like, oh, let's, like Charlotte is the hub. And then, oh, Detroit at one point was the fourth largest city in America. At least there's something there. No, Carolina.
Just a good old boy.
And the problem is they're not even that big Hicks. They're not even Hicks that like.
They're not Alabama Hicks.
Yeah, that are awful for different reasons. I mean, they talk about, I don't know. I just, there's.
No, I have to be honest, that felt good. If I can look back and say, which team you wish would have been swept, I'm so glad it was Carolina.
Same with me. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Although I almost kind of wish we would have had one game where they won just to hear them like peacock and go crazy just to have their dreams crushed one more time.
I don't know.
I was good.
Yeah, by then I was so sick of them. I was just like, oh, God.
Bless your heart.
They still challenging you to fights, Fred? You still got that guy wanting to come up and find you in a baseball park and fight you?
Apparently in July is when it all comes down.
So he said, if you're looking for corny, listen to the radio play-by-play guy for St. Louis. Yeah, we played that.
We went through that yesterday.
Whoa, don't go there. Talk
Sit
to the hand.
Burn, dude.
Yeah, that guy was pretty corny.
Yeah, there's no question.
Talk to the hand.
Because they signed Herodot. All right, we will be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
No parents, no rules, no shirts, and best of all,
it's Toucher and Rich.
I read you loud and clear.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. We discussed LeBron James and the lying and the maneuvering and how basically LeBron James and his organization runs the Lakers. And then Rob Pelinka, for some reason, told a story. You might as well play it.
This is great. So Rob Pelinka is the guy who is now basically running the show over with the Lakers. He's the one that Magic Johnson said, when it comes to backstabbing, it's just one guy, Rob Pelinka. And so after that happened, you know that Rob Pelinka and all of his minions leaked a bunch of stuff to Baxter Holmes and a lot of the people who did a ton of the reporting on this new article that came out, which basically rips apart everything that's been going on in the Lakers organization for the last couple of months. And then one of my favorite stories about the entire thing was an anecdote about how Rob Pelinka just lies, just tells stories that nobody believes, to the point where they're so blatantly obvious that how would you not call the guy out? So he was at this thing that they used to hire celebrities to come and speak to the players. And, you know, these guys who were supposed to motivate you. And The Rock was there one day. And I guess Rob Pelinka wanted to, like, one-up The Rock. So he goes to the front where The Rock is. And remember, Pelinka was the agent for Kobe Bryant for all these years. And Pelinka told this story. You brought it up, Fred?
I gotcha.
I remember just a really quick story. There was one time when Kobe, who I worked with for 18 years, was going back to play in Madison Square Garden, and he had just seen The Dark Knight. Obviously, you guys saw that movie. And he's like, hey, hook me up with dinner with Heath Ledger, because he got so locked into that role. I want to know how he mentally went there. And so he had dinner with Heath, and he talked about how he locks in for a role, and Kobe used some of that in his game against the Knicks in terms of mental preparation.
Yeah, the only problem is most people know that Heath Ledger had been dead for 6 months before The Dark Knight came out.
We also talked to the singer Sublime after their album 40 Ounces of Freedom had come out. Had a big conversation with the singer.
Brad, how do you know all about Santeria? And how you ain't got no crystal ball.
That's right. I know that you were a hologram in the videos, which is very classy. So what are these new odds, Rich?
So now, which makes things interesting, because the whole thing about the Lakers was that, if you remember in the middle of the season, there were all these reports that, well, it was the reason Anthony Davis said that he wasn't going to play, because he was trying to demand a trade to the Lakers.
He's got the same agent as LeBron.
Right. He's got you know, this guy who's ruining everything right now and making everyone nervous and completely destroyed any kind of chemistry that team might have had.
Yeah, LeBron's agent, by the way, part of this article is that he, when Maverick Carter was having dinner with the commissioner of the league, he went over to the commissioner and said he wanted Luke Walton fired.
Yeah, which is just fantastic that you're telling the commissioner this. He's like, what's the commissioner? And by the way, hey, surprise, you happen to be at the same restaurant that we're at?
Right.
What a coinky dink. Well, that's why this is kind of surprising, because right now, if you look at the odds in Vegas as to who's going to get Anthony Davis, as a matter of fact, the way it's stated is that the first regular season game of next season, which roster will he be on? The leaders right now, number one, 1-1 odds. The Los Angeles Lakers, which is amazing to me, because I guess they're depending on the Celtics to just not go there. Maybe they're thinking that if, because right now the Celtics realistically have the most to give, the most to offer. They still
the Lakers
do.
Have that offer changed. For the Lakers hasn't improved any.
Right,
they still have
nothing's
the
changed.
Same mediocre players that New Orleans passed on before. Now the difference is New Orleans has a new GM. Griffin's the guy in charge down there now, and Griffin, if you look how he helped out LeBron in Cleveland before he got fired, you know, he knew what he was doing. So, I mean, maybe they know about Griffin and Griffin's willingness to deal with L.A. I don't know.
Or they're
but the Lakers have the same guys that the previous regime passed on during the season.
Right, but if I'm the GM of the Pelicans, why would I do any favors for LeBron? Wouldn't I be more interested in my own team?
Well, and Griffin has more of a hand to play, because they're going to get Zion Williamson too. And they can say, we have Holiday, we have Davis, we have Williamson. We have a chance to contend in the West. I don't care how much term Davis has left on his contract. We're not going to deal him unless you give us a superhuman deal.
See, to me, this says more about the Celtics, because I think that someone in Vegas is realizing that if Kyrie Irving leaves, there might be a mindset within the Celtics organization that don't make the trade for Anthony Davis. Keep these young guys, keep this young core, build them up. And instead, because what happens? You don't have Kyrie Irving. Let's say you make the trade for Anthony Davis. He's here for 1 year and he leaves, and then you're left with nothing.
Exactly.
Nothing. So I think the Celtics situation has changed more than the Lakers has, and that's why they're right now, according
to
Vegas.
But still, the Lakers having such low odds, I don't see it.
Because
I don't understand
then who's left, because you got the Lakers will give anything.
Lakers have a top five draft pick. That certainly helps.
They will.
But in a draft that only has three guys.
Yeah, the top.
Two and a half guys.
Yeah, nothing after two. To interest me.
So it goes Lakers with 1-1 odds, Celtics with 2-1 odds, tied with the Pelicans, which to me, if I'm Anthony Davis, I'm staying. I want to stay. And I know you kind of like screwed up, but maybe try to recruit a star to play with you, because just think about it. Let's say you've got Anthony Davis, Zion Williams, Drew Holiday, and maybe, just maybe, if you could convince somebody, imagine if they could get Kevin Durant there.
I don't think that's going to happen.
But just imagine if you could get like one other, like a star.
Yeah,
that's a damn good team.
You need one more player other than those three to really make a push.
I wouldn't. If I'm a player, I'm not going there. I got no control of anything that's going on.
To the Lakers? Oh, of course not.
And I got a guy who's at the end of his career. He's trying to do something outside of basketball, but while he's doing it, he just says, who cares?
Along those lines, real quick, the Kyrie Irving odds, first regular season game, Knicks still in the lead, 2-3 odds, and then it goes Nets at 2-1, and it drops all the way to 5-1 for the Boston Celtics.
All right. We have a guest coming up from the NHL Network. No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.